Hey there, this is Kentucky the Singing Ghost Hunter. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Dean, the Kentucky Ghost Hunter. Oh, by the way, he is an awesome friend of mine. I've known him for several years. We have a lot of fun together, battering back and forth, making jokes with each other. But we can be serious at times, too, about things like ghost. Oh, by the way, it's time for the Kentucky Ghost Hunter Show.
Wow, folks, welcome to another season of the Kentucky Ghost Hunter Show. As always, I am Dean, and if you have been following us for the last couple of years, you've known that we've experienced some great growth with this show. We've started at one little station in a small town in Hartford, Kentucky, and from there we grew in the last couple of years to five or six different radio stations, but now we've made a move to internet radio, which is BBS radio, and a lot of people have asked me why I made that move with the show, and it's quite simple. Last year, we were probably on 7, 8, 9 radio stations, something like that, I believe. But anyway, it was a lot of work because a lot of them couldn't keep our show at the same exact time. We tried to do it at 12 midnight, and it was not a live show. We couldn't do it live, and I really liked the live show opportunity. So we went with BBS Radio, and we're glad we did. There's a large following with us right now, and we're having a heck of a time. When we started, it was a little difficult because we're used to, when we did a live show 2 years ago, we were used to a producer or something looking at us and signaling us and things to do. So this is going to be a little bit different. And I got a new host, a co-host. His name's Kevin Quabbin, and I'm sure a lot of you remember Kevin. Kevin was on a lot of our shows over the last couple of years. He's the lead investigator for Stone Creek Preternatural. And Kevin, say hello to everybody. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Kevin Quabbin. I am the lead investigator and co-founder of Stone Creek Pure Natural Research, and basically looking forward to this new format.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. And always, it's a little bit different because it is a call-in talk show now. If you have any kind of questions you might want to ask us, or you even have stories you want to tell or anything like that, like last year, a lot of people wanted to do that. They were not able to do it because we did not have a call-in section because, like I said, last year we had to do audio recordings, and it was just a pain. But if you want to write down the numbers, it's open mic. Anytime you want to call in, it's 888-429-5471 in the United States. And if you're outside the United States, it's 323-744-4841. I'm going to give those numbers again. In the U.S., it's 888-429-5471. And in other countries, Canada specifically, I know we got listeners in Canada, the number will be 323-744-4871. You may be put on hold a little bit while we talk, but I will try to get to everybody that calls in. Like I said, just might be a little wait, but you'll be okay. We've got two specific guests tonight. We have Bill Payne. A lot of people will remember Bill. Bill, actually, we met at, oh, shoot, Bill, where was that, Bill, we first met at? We went on investigation.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Bobby Mackey's. I couldn't remember where it was, Bill. Sorry about that. We went to a trip to Bobby Mackey's. And actually, that's where I met you, too, wasn't it, Kevin, the first time at Bobby Mackey's?
We had talked a few times, but that's where we first met.
Yeah, I remember when me and you first talked, Kevin. We didn't know. We kind of were feeling each other out, trying to see if we were both nutballs or what. But we did okay. And Bill met us down in Hartford and drove down with us in the van. But Bill is a author, and he's also the lead investigator for Hopkins County Paranormal. He's also a trained demonologist, and I always love having Bill on because he's got plenty of stories and he explains what a demonologist is and all that good stuff. But the name of his book is Who Am I, which is Living Through My Eyes, and it's a biography he made of his life. Where's it on sale at right now, Bill?
Right now it's available on Amazon.com, and you can also find it on BarnesandNoble.com.
Now, how do they find it? Just put in your name, or because I'm not familiar with how to look for books on those sites.
Yeah, you can type in W.R. Payne, or you can type in the book title, either one.
Okay, well, do us a favor. I know this isn't a paranormal book. It's more like a biography of your life, but go ahead and explain to people about the book and what it's about, so if they might want to buy it after the show.
It pretty much talks about my life growing up, my life before becoming a paranormal investigator, different jobs I did and different stories of growing up, and it talks about how I got into the paranormal, what led me into the paranormal. It talks about some of the investigations, some of the evidence that we've captured on investigations, and also gives advice for those looking to get into the paranormal.
All right, Bill, do me a favor. Go ahead and tell what kind of advice you give the people that are wanting to get into paranormal. We got a lot of people out there right now, too many actually, that are out there trying to be paranormal investigators. They really don't know what they're doing, and sometimes it can cause some trouble. But kind of give us a synopsis, if you would, about what you feel they need to know as they go into the paranormal field.
Well, the first thing I would suggest is don't believe everything you see on television, because it's nothing like that. Always do your research, read anything you can find on paranormal, talk to people who are in the field already, learn from them. Instead of starting your own group right off, get with another team. That way you can learn the basics and just be aware it's not always what you see on TV. You never know what you're going to walk into. So you also have to take in consideration that things can follow you home, so make sure you do your homework, take all safety precautions.
Do me a favor, explain what you mean by things can follow you home, because a lot of people don't know what you mean by that.
Well, for some people who aren't aware, they think that what you see on TV, with people going in, doing the taunting, doing the provocation and stuff like that, that's the wrong way to go about it. I mean, you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. So, I mean, you don't know what someone lived, the kind of life they lived when they were in the field or while they were still alive. So treat them like you would anybody else with respect, because a lot of times you start doing the taunting and provoking, you're liable to anger them, and they can attach themselves to you very easily and come home with you, and you not even know it, and not, they may not take it out on you, but they can take it out on a family member.
Yeah, and Kevin, we and you've talked about this plenty of times. I know, Bill, we've talked about it too, just in even the trip up there to Bobby Mackey's when we took it. But there's a lot of people using Ouija boards nowadays. I've been looking at I've been looking at a lot of internet sites that people send me. It seems like everybody and their mother is using Ouija boards during investigations at this point.
It almost seems like 9 of every 10 investigation groups use them.
Yeah, I don't really get
it's pretty
that.
High.
Yeah. Now, Bill, you're a demonologist. What is your opinion on the Ouija board?
The Ouija board, in my opinion, a lot of people ask me, is there any difference between using a Ouija board or a digital recorder? And there's a big difference, because with a digital recorder, you're only communicating with what's already there. With the Ouija board, you're opening up doorways and portals in order to bring something through. And not only that, but with you placing your hands on the plancha, you're giving that spirit or entity permission to use your body to take over your body in order to move that planchet. And chances are they're not always going to give you control back. So that can lead to a very serious situation right there in itself.
I totally agree with you, Bill, on that. And I've got my own theory on that. I think you should never give your own energy up to anybody.
Exactly.
Whether it be another human being or a spirit, and allowing it to use your energy to move the planchet.
Exactly.
Is a very dangerous thing, and that's why I agree with you. It's different than using a spirit box or recorder or anything like that.
Correct.
Now, Bill, do you have any experience with somebody using the Ouija board and it going bad on them? Where you had to go. Now, before we do that, you're a demonologist. You're a trained demonologist. Explain to everybody what a demonologist is, real quick, before I ask you this question.
A demonologist is pretty much the study of demons, their behaviors, their what to look for, signs, certain signs to watch for, in order to recognize demonic activity. Because a lot of times people don't know that demons can portray human activity to a certain degree, just as well as a human spirit can portray demonic to a certain degree. So demonology pretty much just teaches you on different signs to look for, on how to decide on whether or not it's actually demonic or a human activity or a poltergeist activity.
Now, explain what a poltergeist activity is, too, and I will get back to the question.
Poltergeist, a lot of people have the wrong interpretation of that. A lot of people think it's a spirit or a demonic entity, and it's actually neither. Poltergeist is brought on by someone going through extreme emotional distress, normally a teenage girl going through puberty or someone going through a bankruptcy or something really traumatic in their lives, and they emit that energy without knowing they're emitting that energy. Kind of like a telekinetic energy. And the only way to rid a place of poltergeist activity is to find out who exactly is emitting that energy. And once you do that, have them seek some kind of therapy or counseling to get that under control. And once that happens, the activity will also start to cease down.
Okay, so let's go back to the question now. You know, you've explained what a demonologist is. Have you ever had an experience where somebody's used a Ouija board and it went bad on you, had to help them?
Oh, yeah, many times. We had one, it wasn't too long ago, actually. They had been messing with one, and they thought just by throwing it away, it would take care of the activity, or just putting it up underneath the bed, that it would cease the activity, and it didn't. I mean, it got pretty bad to where the lady was being scratched. She was having her oxygen turned off on her. kept seeing dark shadow figures walk around through her house and everything, and we asked if she still had the Ouija board, and she did, so we had to do a cleansing and blessing over that and remove her from the house.
Explain to us what... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
What'd you do with the Ouija board once you removed it?
Normally what we do, there's usually two ways we usually get rid of them. We usually... one way is we put holy water and anointed oil on it, and we put it in a plastic bag and bury it underground, or we put holy water and anointed oil on it and put it in the bag and fill it with rocks and let it sink to the bottom of a pond or a lake.
What exactly does letting it sink to the bottom of a pond or lake do? Because I haven't heard of that procedure.
Well, that way no one else can find it and bring it into the house. That way it's...
Okay, so it's more of a protection thing than it is a ritual. Okay, okay.
Exactly. Now, don't they say water, though, breathes energy? Then wouldn't that be dangerous for having a Ouija board down there? Even though everybody's playing with it, wouldn't that maybe allow
the theory is that spirits can't cross running water, so if it's in the middle of a lake or something like that right there, it'd be kind of hard to do that.
So, Bill, go ahead, Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I had a quick question for you, Bill. When you go on these private investigations, I go on them as well, do you find a high number of people, it's hard to really get the truth out of them? They don't want to admit they played with the Ouija board, or they don't want to admit they played Charlie, they don't want to admit they did this. A lot of them will sit there and say they didn't do anything, but then you find out after two or three meetings that they've messed with all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That or they suddenly forgot to mention something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But why do you guys think that is, actually? Because I've experienced that, too, that people send in stuff to me all the time. Kevin, you know that because I send you guys stuff all the time. I send it to other groups, too, because I can't be all every place at every time.
Right.
But when you do the preliminary talk with them, I mean, they lie like crazy about things. I don't get that. If they want help, but they don't want to tell you what they've done and to cause the problem.
I think they're embarrassed.
I think they may be ashamed to mention certain things because they're scared of you may judge them or not totally believe them or something like that right there.
What do you think, Kevin? Same thing?
Yeah, I think they're more ashamed of it. I agree. I mean, they don't want to admit it because they don't want to look like, oh my gosh, you're not going to help me. You're going to think I did something wrong. And they don't realize that going out there, we've seen a lot of things, and we don't judge people because basically, you know, it very well could things could be happening that we don't. I don't know how to explain that better, but basically, it could really be happening, and we believe them until, you know, we can figure out otherwise.
All right, now, Bill, I ask this to you every show, but I'm going to ask it to you again, Bill. Tell me something, a couple of experiences you had that you went, oh, crap, I wish I wasn't here right now. You know, something that's really got to you, because you do a lot of stuff, man. I mean, I follow you on Facebook and some other places, and your group's always busy, and you're always helping people. And I know you've gotten some situations where, you know, maybe some of the people had to walk out of the room because they did something in their pants they shouldn't have because they got scared. But tell me some examples of some things that you and your group has done that's kind of, you know, been way out there. Not put you on the spot, haven't I?
Yeah, there's so many. I'm trying to think of one that would actually stand out.
Well, just give us an example of something. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, shoot something out there to us, because a lot of people want to know what you do, because your group is very active, you know, and a lot of people that follow me see me reposting stuff while you're always going out to help somebody. So just give us a couple examples out there of anything right now that kind of explain what you and your group does.
Well, there was one that we just did here recently. It didn't really seem that bad because the claims wasn't really that bad. She was just pretty much wanting validation because her son had been seeing a little boy. So we so she wasn't sure whether it was just imagination or whatever. And so we went there, and we got to walking around the inside of the house, and inside of the house, I mean, it wasn't really that bad. Then we went out back. They had a garage out back. We were walking around out there, and the longer I've been in this field, the more sensitive I have become. I've gotten to where I can usually pick up on certain energies and stuff like that. I don't know if you've gotten like that, Kevin or Dean, but after a while in the field, your body becomes more sensitive, more open. I started getting real nauseous, lightheaded, dizzy, headache, and we went inside the garage, and it got even heavier. So we wasn't planning on putting cameras out back. We were only going to run 3 cameras inside, so we ended up running 7 altogether because we had to put some out back. It wasn't maybe 2 hours. We were out there, and one of my investigators, he's kind of a sensitive also, and he was picking up on pretty much the same thing I was picking up on. And I heard a slight growl behind me, and I thought maybe one of their stomachs were growling. And I asked if one of their stomachs were growling, and I didn't get an answer. And I could see him kind of acting kind of weird, and I heard it again. I said, is one of y'all stomachs growling? Again, no answer. Then he said he started feeling a burn on his back, so I looked up in his shirt, and he had been scratched across his back. It was deep enough that it brought blood. And it wasn't long after that, I had a member that was trying out, and this was her very first investigation, and she got tore up because there was a little kid that come across asking for its mama. And I don't know if you're like me, no matter how many times you pick up a kid's voice, it never gets any easier.
Now, was that on an EVP recording you guys got that voice, or was somebody actually hear it?
It came through the spirit box. I mean, it was clear as day. It said mama, and then after that, it sounded like a kid in distress, like it was kind of like crying.
Okay, do me a favor, Bill. Explain what a spirit box is and an EVP real quick, if you don't mind, because a lot of people listening to us are going to be new because we've got probably, I don't know how many affiliates have picked up the show, but if you could explain what those two devices are so those people that don't understand paranormal can kind of get an idea of what you're talking about.
An EVP stands for electronic voice phenomenon. That's a voice that 9 times out of 10 is picked up through any kind of recording device, whether it be a digital recorder or a tape recorder or a video camera. It's so low that the human ear cannot hear it. It can only be heard through a recording device. And the spirit box is I use the SB7. It's basically a radio that you can put in reverse mode where it plays in reverse, and you can set the speed on to where it plays at a slow speed or a fast speed, which I use the fastest sweep rate. And you can plug a portable speaker into that, and what it does is scans through all these radio stations at a high rate of speed that it makes it almost impossible for a radio voice to come through. And if it does, it's on like a half of a millisecond. You're not going to be able to make out what it says. And this that came through there, it was clear as day. It's like me and you talking, and it said mama. And I also from it.
You guys got your spirit box at a pretty fast pace, rapid. Is that correct?
Yes.
You don't do it slow. You do it as fast as it can go.
Exactly. And we also remove the antenna from it too, so it don't have an antenna either.
Oh, I haven't heard that. What does that do to remove the antenna? Does that take a lot of the radio stations off of it, or?
Yeah. Because most times, like if you're in your car, if you ain't got an antenna on your car, you're not going to be able to pick up any stations. So, without the antenna.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, something that Kevin does at Stone Creek Preternatural, actually it was Denise Wilkin is the medium that works with Kevin. She's a really good friend of ours.
Yeah, I know her.
Kevin, do you know what I'm talking about? Where the way you guys put the headsets on and then you ask questions. Can you kind of explain what you guys do? It's a little new process, and I think there's a lot of people out there that do paranormal. This might be a technique they'd want to use.
Well, I had seen somebody else do it. It was actually kind of interesting. You basically put on some noise cancellation headphones on, and you put the spirit box into the headphones, and that person just sits there, and they just repeat out whatever they hear. But the whole time that's going on, people on the outside ask questions. So I would say, did you die here, or were you Civil War soldier? Were you a Confederate or a Union soldier? And if she blurts out, like, Union, you know, then there's no way she can hear what I'm saying with that spirit box jamming in her ear, the noise cancellation headphones, and it allows, you know, it's interesting.
So that's kind of like putting the headphones through a digital recorder and pretty much doing like a live EVP, right?
Well, if this is using the spirit box, you're just using those.
Right.
You're just, you know, she can't hear anything that we're asking through that. Right. I consider EVPs a little bit different than spirit box responses, just because I consider an actual EVP from a recorder, a natural recorder, is like a disembodied voice.
Right.
But it's an interesting theory. It's an interesting try. I mean, something you could try out, Bill, see what you think. I mean,
oh, yeah,
it's different.
I'm gonna try that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I've suggested to a couple other people, guys, and they've done it, and I guess it gives a better validation to, because a lot of people, when you listen to a spirit box, and Bill, you know this, and Kevin, you know this, and people that are not in the paranormal world may not understand it, but I could hear something spoken on a spirit box, and Bill, you may hear something totally different.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin may hear something totally different, but if you've got this the situation where you're asking a question, if the person listening to it, they can't hear what you're asking, then you say, what's your name? And then the person just blurts out Bill. Well, then you've got a validation more than anything than just five different people listening to it, trying to figure out what it says, I guess is what I'm saying. So, yeah, it worked out great. And when they did it, we had some great success. Because I was with you guys when you tried it, Kevin. Where was that at? Was it Thornhaven?
Yeah, it might have been Thornhaven Manor.
I think we're at Thornhaven Manor. But
we
tried it. And we were. You did what?
I said, yeah, we did it at Bobby Mackey's, too. That's where I asked if there was any satanic worship that took place here, and it said never, right down there by the well.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've got some of that fall. Just went to Bobby Mackey's, and, when we went there, we didn't catch very much, but a lot of people, what's your opinion of Bobby Mackey's, Bill? And people don't, where is Bobby Mackey's, Kevin? It's near you. What town is that?
Wilder.
Oh, it's in Wilder, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Most haunted honky tonk bar in America.
Well, actually, Kevin, when you went there, you went, didn't you go back there and you got one heck of an orb picture?
Is that the
or was
I'm
that the apparition?
I'm not real big on orbs, but we've got a. I did go back there back in. I remember it was April, maybe May or June, and we went in for a couple hours during the afternoon. And when they opened the doors for us, we walked up towards the bar. And I usually take a couple pictures right away with my camera just to kind of see what we get. And I took a picture, and at the end of the bar, there's a walkway that goes from the bar down to the dance out to the dance floor, and it's about 3 feet wide. And there's this head sticking around the corner that is no doubt the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And when I matched it up, and I've shown some people – what's the gentleman that died there, the old caretaker?
Oh, Carl.
Carl. It looks just like Carl. It looks the same face, everything. And but what we do, Bill, and our team is we get evidence, like photography evidence.
Right.
I won't show anybody evidence until I get it verified. And by verification, I mean, I like to send it off to a friend of mine who's not part of our team. He's nothing associated with us other than he's a friend of mine. But he's a professional photographer, and I send him pictures, and he'll debunk 98% of the stuff I send him. He'll say, Kevin, this looks like this. I get what you're seeing, but you're actually seeing is this. It's from
Paranoia.
And he could actually debunk the picture even more than I can. I mean, he'll actually tell you more detailed information why what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. And because he can look at the light reflections in the room and different things can make things look like. But this one is one of the ones he said he couldn't figure out, and it's neat. I'll have Dean put it on the website, but it's a neat picture. It's definitely captured.
Well, that orb I was talking about, you captured it. I don't know what it looked like, but it was. Remember the green one? And like you guys said, you don't put much faith in orbs. But
the green one I caught, that absolutely, that 100%. But
yeah,
you know,
so
but 99
that can be mistaken for orbs is pathetic.
Yeah. But 99% of the orbs I think out there sometimes are, I believe orbs exist. I just think sometimes it's water and dust and molecules and things like that in the air.
Yeah, I've always been a firm believer that a real orb you can see with your own eyes without the use of a camera.
Right.
You know, I've only experienced one real orb like that before, and it was at a cemetery in a place called Peabody And that's a mine up here around Ohio County. I think you know where it is, Bill, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a, they turn it into a place where everybody go fishing and everything, but there used to be a, I would think there was a church dislocation at one time, and a lot of people that don't know coal country, when Peabody or somebody moves in, the towns get moved out, but they leave the cemeteries. We've got a cemetery we found by a lake that we were just driving down the road and said, look over there, there's a cemetery. And it was in the middle of the woods that everybody's forgotten about. But this particular cemetery, I took a picture with a flash photography, and it actually reflected off of the orb and blinded me. And my son was with me at the time when we did it. But it was the most unique experience I ever had with an orb before, because it actually flashed back at me in midair. So I believe that was one and maybe the only time I've actually captured a real orb like that. But Kevin, the orb we're talking about that you took a picture of, it's green, it's by a chair and all that. It's actually on the website, KentuckyGhostHunter.com, if anybody wants to go look at it.
That actually was taken because Denise, we were sitting on a stage at the Russell Theater in Maysville, and Denise said, there's someone walking. I couldn't see him, of course, and it was dark and down by the chair. So she said, take a picture of there. So I did, and we captured it, and there's no way to... It's a bright green, fluorescent. It's
hard to explain. It really is.
It's like there's like a body inside of it, but then it kind of has like an umbilical cord that wraps around and like a vortex. Like it's really something. I mean, and again, our photographer friend could not debunk that one, and he took everything he could. And he said, "I can't debunk that." So
there you go. What do you, Bill? Just out of curiosity, you're not much into orbs. But if orbs had any substance to them at all, as far as a paranormal thing, what would you think it would be? What are we actually looking at?
I would say a glowing ball of energy with its own light source and its own movement.
Now, when you say ball of energy, kind of, and I guess I don't want to get too deep with it because, like I said, there's a lot of new people in here. But when you say a ball of energy, you think that's spirit? You think it's just natural phenomena?
From what I've pretty much theorized in my own studies with spirits and stuff like that, I consider there's four types of apparitions. The lowest being a spirit orb, like the ball of energy, perfect circle, sphere, whatever you want to call it, that puts off its own light source that can be seen with the naked eye and has its own movement. And the second would be like a mist, like a translucent mist you can see through. The third being the shadow figure a lot of people see 9 times out of 10. And then the perfect body apparition, where everything is perfect.
Now, I actually saw my first apparition just a couple weeks ago, didn't I, Kevin?
Back in August, yeah.
Yeah. It was at Edinburgh, wasn't it? Edinburgh, Iowa?
Yes, Edinburgh Manor.
Edinburgh Manor. Yeah, it was really weird because I was actually walking up a staircase, and I looked over to the right, and for the life of me, there was a man standing there with an old hat on and a trench coat. But it was like an old 1940s trench coat, and he was just leaned against the wall, and I kind of double took, and when I did my double take and looked back, he was gone. But that was my first actual experience with an apparition like that.
Did it seem more like it was residual or intelligent?
No, I would say it was residual, and we only got a couple more seconds before we go to break here, but a residual, for those who are looking, is something like a picture in time that you can see.
Yeah, kind of.
And
like
the other one is
over and over.
Yeah, it's like a movie over and over through time. These people, sometimes people almost stay. I tell you what, we'll actually wait and talk about that in a minute because we're going to run out of time before we go to break. But folks, when we come back, David Oakford's going to join us. He is the author of Soul Bard, a Metaphysical Journey. He's got another book out there, Journey Through the World or Journey Through the Word of Spirit. And David had experienced a near-death experience in 1979. It changed his life. Once again, we're getting ready to go to break, but and hope we're going to go to break because this is the first time we've done break on the TV or on the radio here. So call in is 888-429-5471 for United States. Outside the United States is 323-744-4841. We're going to go to break. We get back. We're going to have David on and Bill stick with us too. Okay.
All right.
Here we go to break. Hopefully.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the wacky waterfall.
It's a shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
As a man, you know what it's like to break your back on a daily basis. Introducing New Bud Silver, the beer for hardworking men. It's just what you need after a day of assembling flat-pack furniture, when instructions are cast aside in favor of intuition. Working with one eye on the job and another on the TV. A day when you're told it looks a bit wonky at least 40 times. Hardworking men want a fuller-tasting, thirst-quenching beer. New Bud Silver. One cold can of You Bet I Earned It.
KFC presents a Halloween tale. It came from the dark. It began like any other evening. They were hungry. Innocently, they went to KFC, where they discovered the new KFC dark meat menu.
Look at all those low prices!
Have you ever seen chicken priced this low?
Yes, dark, delicious pieces of KFC legs and thighs. Flavors like original recipe, extra crispy, and even tender roast. All at low, low prices.
Look at all those pieces!
It's KFC's dark meat menu. Whatever you do, don't eat it alone.
Have you ever needed something late at night, or needed the finishing touch on a project due tomorrow? The Walmart in your area is always there for you, and open 24/7.
I can't count how many times I've been to Walmart after 11 p.m., whether it's to get shampoo or just hang out with friends. No matter what, Walmart always has what I need.
The next time you need something quick, you know where to go. Save money, live better, Walmart.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mmm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Air fresheners create a beautiful atmosphere in your home. But some can be overpowering. Ambipure Purez is different because it's allergen reduced. It's just as scented, but we've taken things out to make it kinder to sensitive skin. So, all you're left with is a collection of delicate air fresheners approved by Allergy UK. Ambipure Purez, a fresh take on fragrancing your home.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&Ms Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes.
M&Ms Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes. And others are still very much with us, like Lava Lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
We love the Kentucky Ghost Hunter!
Welcome back to the Kentucky Ghost Hunter Show. We had a little glitch there for a second because, like I said, this is the first time we've been live in over a year. So I let those glitches go. We should have it all straightened up. So next time we go on, we will have our commercial break on time. That was my fault, basically, because the communication was, like I said, before I used to have a producer and point at me. Now we don't have that. So welcome to the world of technology. As always, Kevin Quatman is my co-host, and if anybody wants to do a call-in thing, we do have some people that have sent some text in to me and some messages through the website. You guys do not have to do that anymore. A lot of people do not realize that we are live, that they're used to last year. We was on the 7 or 8 radio stations. We were pre-recorded. We are live. If you want to call in and ask questions or just tell your story or anything like that, the number is 888-429-5471. Or if you're out of the country, it's 323-744-4841. All right, we're back. And like I said, we're going to be talking to David Oakford. David is an author who had a near-death experience in 1979. His two books are entitled Soul Bard, A Metaphysical Journey, and Journey Through the Word of Spirit. Welcome, David.
Hey, great. Hey, listen, those books are Soul Bard, A Metaphysical Journey, and Journey Through the World of Spirit. That's what those two books are.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. Tell us about your near-death experience. Now, that you sent us some information, and Kevin looked at it, and I looked at it. It's a unique experience. There's going to be some people who are going to kind of say, oh, I don't know, but don't worry about that because I do that in paranormal world all the time. We're used to that stuff. But right. Tell us what happened in 1979 and how you had your near-death experience.
Well, what happened was I was growing up in this like ghetto-type area in Detroit, and I wanted to leave there, and I thought it would be a good idea to have a party with my friends. You know, I was like, you know, when we had friends that were all together and we party, we, you know, had kind of a checkered past, I guess you'd say. And I decided I wanted to have one more party with them before I left town, because I was going to leave town. I had to get out of there. And at that party, a friend of mine got me this stuff, and I wasn't sure what it was. He said something about cocaine, right? And then he said, don't do anything with it until I get back. Well, I thought, oh, cocaine. Oh, cool. I just got to crush it up. So I did it, and I snorted it. That's why I did it. And then my friend came back and saw what I did, and he said, oh, no, dude, no, that's going to kill you, okay? Well, then I passed out, and I woke up. It was kind of hard to explain. I passed out, and then I woke up, and I could see things all around in the house just by like thinking about them. And I ended up I asked for help because I got scared. I didn't know what to do. And I asked for help. I thought, you know, I thought I'd pray, right? But you know, that's a religious God, my own God. And I prayed, and this spirit being came, and he was there, and he had like a glow around him, and he talked to me. He said he was there to help me, and it's like, okay, well, I asked for help. You know, I'm gonna, you know, let's see what he does, you know. Well, anyway, he ended up teaching me how to astral travel, and we went astral traveling to Egypt, and then back over the Pacific, over the West Coast, and the Southeast United States. And but when we went, he told me about the energies of the planet and how our energies interact with them, and how our energies interact with each other, and it's all interaction type thing, you know, of, you know, our, you know, what we think and stuff, what we, you know, how we act to each other. And after that, then I saw the planet. We went to the moon, and we were around there, and I saw the planet, and then he explained a bunch of things to me about the planet that, you know, that we were doing to it, and, you know, that were, you know, the things that we need to change. You know, he said basically we were messing it up. You know? And then after that, we went to this light. It was a light. There was stars all over the place, right? You know, night sky. And we just went towards one of them. And we went there. We were really, really fast, and we passed by all the planets. It was really cool. Passed by all the planets, and I could, like, hear them as we passed them. And then we went to that by that light, and it looked like a whirlpool or something, kind of like a black hole, but it had a distinct center to it, and it was calm, and there was something on the other side of it, and I wanted to go there. But the spirit being, I call him Bob, so I have to name him something that makes it easier, but he showed me entity of light. It was just a being of light, and he said it was the Master Jesus, is what he said. Okay, and then he explained to me about there are other masters and everything, and that's, you know, how things are, which I didn't know anything about any of that stuff when he told me. And then we went to after that, he said I couldn't go into that place. He said I wasn't ready yet. So we went. He said there were other things to see, and he took me to this place that was by our planet. You could see it from there, and it was like a city, and it was just like our planet, only everything there was perfect. Everything was perfect, and there were other spirits there, spirit souls, whatever you want to call it. They were all there, and they were, like, flying around in the city, and everything was like energy. The energy, like y'all see in your pictures of the apparitions, like I've seen on your website, it's energy like that. That's how it looks, and that's how the spirits were on that there. And then he took me to this building, and I went upstairs, and there was these. I met four spirits there. I walked in, you know, and saw them, and they knew me. Okay, I wasn't really sure who they were, but they knew me. I knew that. And then after that, he took me to this other building, and he said it was like a hall of knowledge type of a thing. What it was that soul's records are stored there. I went in there, and he sat me down on this bench, and he went into this room that was across the way, and then. While I was on the bench, I started remembering past life in Egypt, which is part, you know, of what I'm doing here now. And I started to remember them, and then the Bob came out of the room. He told me to go in there. I went in there, and there's this group of spirits sitting there. There was like half a dozen of them. They were all sitting there. They all had energy, like, you know, just like Bob did, but they kind of made it so that I could recognize them and reference them, you know. They kind of, like, took sort of like a human form so I could understand it. And then they showed me my life, and it was all the stuff that I did that was bad, that was major, and all the stuff that was good. And after they showed me that, then they asked me what I thought of it, and I told them that they asked me if I thought it was more positive or more negative. And they asked what I thought of it. And, you know, I told them, I said, well, you know, I want to stay positive because I want to stay there, right? And, but I knew it was no good because those guys knew what I was thinking. And and then they said, well, no, negative, because that's how it was. You know, it's, you know, really how it was. And they said, well, you know, what do you think you should do? And I told them I want to stay there. We went a little round and round about that, and then I ended up outside, and the Bob, the one spirit that helped me, he came, and he told me some things about the future in my life, that stuff that would happen, and because I wanted to know what I was going back to, and I asked him, and so he told me stuff that was going to happen, and then I ended up deciding to come back here. So I went through, I was there, and I jumped into this river, and I went down, and I came back, and there was this trail back to my body, And so I followed that trail, and then I went and I saw my house I grew up in. I went in there for a little bit to see what was up, you know. And then I came back and I saw the sunrise. Then I went back in the house, and then I woke up. I woke up in my body. The first thing I did was check out, make sure everything worked, you know. And I got up, and all my friends were sleeping. This was like 5:30 in the morning. And my friends were all asleep, and I woke them up. I started to tell them what happened. And they said, oh, you're fucking crazy. They said, you're crazy. It was just a dream, or, you know, it was just a drug. That, you know, that's all it was. Stop your crazy talk. Okay, and that's the first thing I got when I got back. And, I got back, I still had all the same problems that I had before. Nothing got erased, there was nothing forgiven. I still had to try to resolve all those problems. And then I had this, it's like, well, what am I going to do with this? It was like, it was 1979. I tried to tell my mom, she wouldn't even listen to me. Back in 1979, you know, we talk about stories like that. If I, like, talked to the wrong person, like to my dad, I could end up in a mental institution. They put people in mental institutions for that kind of stuff back then, so I got scared, so I didn't say nothing about it for a long time, and here we are now.
Well, what made you write the book?
Well, I read a book. I read Betty J. Eddy's book, Embraced by the Light, and it reminded me of my experience. And I started to think about it a lot more. Really, I thought about the 70 days in my whole life, but I thought about it more, and I started I basically thought about it more, and then I found the AOL Metaphysics chat rooms in 97, and I started talking about it. You know, I figured it'd be relatively safe in there. And I started talking to people about it, and then more people wanted to know more about it. I was trying to talk about it in the chat room. There was no way, it was just the way the chat room was. You can't hold anyone's attention. And then this one man from the UK asked me to write an essay about it. He said, write a 2,000-word essay, what happened? And I said, okay. So I wrote it, and then I sent it to him, and then he edited it a little bit, sent it back. And then I met this other person in the room, an artist person. Her son was dying, and she wanted to know what was going on. So I sent a copy of that to her. Well, she sent it to Kevin Williams' website, Near Death Experiences and the Afterlife. And it got out there. She sent it to him. I didn't send anything to anyone except her. But then she sent me a link couple weeks later, and I looked and my story was on that website. And that was back in 1997. It got lots of reads. It's still there on that website.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know what a chat room is anymore, I'm afraid. So I'm gonna have to kind of give some of the younger people a lesson. The chat room back in what he's talking about is when a group of people would be able to go into a certain program and discuss things together. I guess instant message each other, but when you instant message one person, everybody could see it. I just wanted to kind of initiate that because there's a lot of young people, like I said, don't even know what a chat room is. Let me ask you a question real quick, David, if you don't mind. And a lot of people, the people in here right now besides you know me. And let me ask you, are you positive you weren't tripping that day, man? I know that you've been asked this 100 times, but what makes you so sure? And I'm just asking this because I do believe you. I want to validate what you're saying. What makes you so sure that what you experienced was real? What in your heart tells you that what you experienced was really life after death?
Well, it made sense. Hallucinations don't make sense. I mean, it's like hallucinations, you figure, you're tripping, you're going to see like the proverbial giant chicken, that kind of thing. It wasn't like that. Wasn't like that at all. It all made sense. That's why I'm saying it can't be. I mean, if it was PCP, I'd be, that's what I'd be seeing, these giant chickens. Or they got violent or, whatever the, stereotype is of that.
So this was different than a trip. This was actually, you were actually experienced. You could feel everything, and you didn't have any knowledge whatsoever of different countries or anything like that? Because, I mean, we're talking 1979. We didn't have internet then. I was alive in 1979. Right. We still had telephones you had to dial with rotaries. So, pictures of Egypt and pictures of different plants and stuff just weren't accessible to us. Yeah, no internet at all. So I guess you didn't have any experience with that, but did you, when you saw this stuff, when you look at it today on internet and stuff, did it match up? I mean, pictures of stuff, did they match up with what you know today?
Yes. I find that all the time. I find things that, like, I went to a psychic fair, currently in photography. It's like, a lot like what I saw. It's like, there's confirmation there, and it's just, I meet people and talk to people, and I get confirmation a lot. I love when it happens. It makes me feel better about it. It makes me, because I do have a little bit of skeptic in me, but only because I've tried to just quash this whole thing and just, forget about it. I tried so many things to try to forget about it. I tried the drug angle, thinking, it was just a drug. It's no big deal, but then, it never worked for very long for me.
I mean, David, what made you decide, did you change your life at all? Did you at a certain point go, what happened is real and I met Jesus Christ and I want to change my ways? And have you ever made a full transition of what you were doing before and quit doing drugs and whatever else that was going on back in the 1979?
Well, it's taken a lot of time, to get, to where I'm at now, obviously, but, I forgot where I was going with that. I met my wife and told her about it. I didn't really tell. I forgot the answer to your question. I'm sorry.
What was your question again?
Oh, my question was basically like, you went through this experience in 1979 and you met Jesus, and I would think that would make you want to change your life right there. Believe it really happened, it would make you really want to transition into out of the drugs and change your on the right path. And at what point did you change to the right path, or have you changed to the right path?
Well, I eventually changed to the right path. What I did afterward, right after, was I stopped with anything that could kill me and anything that was legal. I still smoked marijuana, and I still drank, but I didn't do any other things. We used to call them chemicals. No mescaline, no coke, no nothing like that.
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
I have heard of, reincarnation and stuff like that right there. Have you tried, hypnosis to see if maybe that was, a past life?
Well, I thought about that, and I'm not sure that I really want to know. I know a lot of stuff, I think I know enough. I don't want to know anymore right now at this point. But I do have. A woman named Shirley Ryan. She's a hypnotherapist. I have a friend with her on Facebook. I could, get together with her. There are people that I could get together with and talk about it.
Hey, David, I have a question. How do you, I read your story, and you kind of made reference to there are certain people that don't leave the earth. You have a free will, and so you can kind of do what you want to do. And some people decide just to stay here, and they wonder they're ghosts. But do you believe in you met Jesus? Do you believe in Satan at all, or the devil, or do you believe he doesn't exist? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, in the beginning when I first met Bob, I asked him. I mentioned that someone could come and be a masquerader. Learned Lutheran when I was young. I never believed it, but I was exposed to that religion. And I asked him. I said, "Well, what about maybe you're the devil? How do I know?" Basically, he said, the negative side of everything, that's not for me. He said, I'm not a part of that, which, you know, leads me to believe that, yeah, there is a negative side to it.
Okay.
And, you know,
Bill, I'm going to bring you into this real quick, if you don't mind, because you are a trained demonologist. What is the opinion on the same question to you, I guess, that we posed to David? I was going to do this, you know, on the next segment, but, you know, we delved into it a little bit. So what is your opinion on devil and all that good stuff?
Well, the Bible speaks the devil was God's favorite angel until he sinned and everything and tried to take more power than what he was given, and that when he fell, he took a third of the angels with him. So he is a fallen angel, but the thing is, when the angels fell, they kept the same powers they had when they were in heaven. So everything they were able to do in heaven, they are still able to do now.
Well, I guess let's dwell on it, just because we only got a couple more minutes till we go to break. But so you're a believer in the devil, of course, because you were trained. And David, I guess you're a believer also because of the experience you had, but in a different idea frame than what Bill is. But Bill, being a demonologist, have you experienced? And of course, you know, being a demonologist, you have, of course. But I'm going to ask you: have you experienced things that are evil? I guess.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I mean, there's evil all around us all the time. I mean, but like I said, being a demonologist, you got to learn to find out which is actually demonic and which is actually human. The only difference is a human can't move heavy objects where a demon can. So that's one way of determining what you're dealing with. So that kind of narrows that down a little bit. But, I mean, there's still different things you have to learn to look for besides just the movement of heavy objects, like certain signs of oppression, infestation, and stuff like that right there.
Now, Kevin, I'm going to swing over to you real quick. I'm going to actually do an interview thing with you instead of co-host thing, but you've done some work with some people too. And real quick, we got 2 minutes before we go to break. What's your opinion on the evil side of paranormal as far as the devil's concerned? Have you experienced it? Have you firsthand? Do you believe in it? What is your opinion on it?
I believe 100% it exists. I think demonic is very rare. I think it's out there. I don't think demons want to show themselves, so I don't think it's as common. It's underlying. It's more of an underlying thing than it actually is outright.
Right.
Like a full possession is just very rare. Partial possession is rare. It's just much more of a underlying trying to get you to do the wrong things. So if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
It makes total sense. Now, David, quick, like 30 seconds time. I think you said something, but you never experienced actually meeting anything that was supposed to be the devil or something like that in your travel, right? In your after death experience.
No, not like a devil, but I did see, you know, like negative entities. It's what surrounds us, you know, who's around.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, listen, guys, real quick, we're going to go to commercial break. If you want to call in, and like I got some questions here, it's lined up. It's been texting me for Bill and David, but right now the number is 888-429-5471. If you want to go live out of the country, it's 323-744-4841. And visit the KentuckyGhostHunter.com. Actually, KentuckyGhostHunter.com. Visit it, and you'll see pictures and updates and how to get to the show and stuff like that. So we're going to go to commercial break real quick, and we'll be right back.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
You're there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty. You're so out of here.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
As a man, you know what it's like to break your back on a daily basis. Introducing new Bud Silver, the beer for hardworking men. It's just what you need after a day of assembling flat-pack furniture, when instructions are cast aside in favor of intuition. Working with one eye on the job and another on the TV. A day when you're told it looks a bit wonky at least 40 times. Hardworking men want a fuller-tasting, thirst-quenching beer. New Bud Silver. One cold can of You Bet I Earned It.
KFC presents a Halloween tale. It came from the dark. It began like any other evening. They were hungry. Innocently, they went to KFC, where they discovered the new KFC dark meat menu.
Look at all those low prices!
Have you ever seen chicken priced this low?
Yes, dark, delicious pieces of KFC legs and thighs. Flavors like original recipe, extra crispy, and even tender roast. All at low, low prices.
Look at all those pieces!
It's KFC's dark meat menu. Whatever you do, don't eat it alone.
Have you ever needed something late at night or needed the finishing touch on a project due tomorrow? The Walmart in your area is always there for you and open 24/7.
I can't count how many times I've been to Walmart after 11 p.m. Whether it's to get shampoo or just hang out with friends. No matter what, Walmart always has what I need.
The next time you need something quick, you know where to go. Save money, live better, Walmart.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mmm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars?
Hey,
what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Air fresheners create a beautiful atmosphere in your home. But some can be overpowering. Ambipure Purex is different because it's allergen reduced. It's just as scented, but we've taken things out to make it kinder to sensitive skin. So, all you're left with is a collection of delicate air fresheners approved by Allergy UK. Ambipure Purex, a fresh take on fragrancing your home.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&M's.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&M's.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's dark chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes.
M&M's dark chocolate candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
We love the Kentucky Ghost Hunter!
All right.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Ghost Hunters Show. This is Dean, the Kentucky Ghost Hunter, with my co-host Kevin Quabbin. Our guests tonight are Bill Payne from Hopkins County Paranormal and David Oakford, who is an author and a writer of a few books. Kevin had some questions for our guests tonight, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Kevin. Go ahead and ask away, buddy.
All right. Well, Bill, question for you on the demonology side. Mm-hmm. Have you been, have you witnessed scratching at all? People getting scratched, of course. You said earlier somebody had some blood drawn.
Oh, yes. I've had a team member scratched. I've also been scratched myself.
My question for you on that is, do you consider a scratch demonic, or do you think that could be just a human entity doing that?
No. People always misinterpret that as being demonic, but it's not always the case. A lot of times, spirits may be trying to make contact with you, and that may be their only way of communicating, and they may scratch you not meaning to. That may be their own way of trying to...
I agree 100%, because everybody says it's demonic, and, you know, Denise Wilkin has a great theory on this, and if you actually reached out, they don't realize how much force they give you sometimes in spirits.
Exactly.
If you actually reach out your own body and try to grab somebody or try to scratch them, the three fingers are what actually would scratch on a person.
Exactly.
Because your thumb and your pinky aren't long enough to scratch. So you're going to get that Trinity sign. So I agree with that. I was just curious if you thought that was demonic or not. So
no.
Well, let me add something to this too, guys. You guys, and Bill, you chime in on this if you want to, but a lot of people don't understand that an entity that is still here on Earth has some form of energy to it. So, you know, if they would do what you're saying, Kevin, they would leave marks. If it's, you know, I don't know if you've ever been shocked by something before, but it always leaves a mark on you. It feels like a bee sting.
Right.
So what's your opinion on that, Bill? Do you believe the same thing, or what do you feel of spirit?
Yeah, definitely. The more energy they got, the more they're liable to leave a mark on you. Because, I mean, they have to draw energy in order to do more things. They have to have a certain amount of energy to move with an object. They have to have a certain amount of energy to manifest themselves. They have to have a certain amount of energy to talk to you. So the more energy they got, the more they can do.
Well, what amazes me about when you get scratched, I've seen people get scratched, and the scratch doesn't normally last very long.
No.
It can be very deep and look very painful, and it is painful for the person who gets it. However, it seems like it's within 20, 30 minutes, it's gone.
Yeah.
It completely disappears.
I would say the longest maybe a day or two, about as long as it'll
last.
You know what's weird? As ornery as I am, I've never been scratched before in my life. But my poor wife, it seems like every time we take her out on an investigation with us, and Kevin, you'll test this, she gets scratched or something. I don't know if they don't like her or what. But I mean, I love her to death, but I could sit there and say whatever I want. I never get a scratch. She just sits there and, you know, and just looks at me. Next thing you know, she's got a scratch. So I don't think it's demonic or anything like that. Like, I agree.
Maybe they're trying to get her to talk, Dean, because she's so quiet.
Well, she's quiet, man. But I tell you what, she's come a long way in the paranormal world. She was first with us, and I'm telling on her a little bit here, I guess, that she did not believe in the paranormal at all. And love her to death now. I'm telling you now, she believes in the paranormal. I think, I mean, I could be wrong. I could ask her, but I don't think she'd come on air. But I think she believes in a little bit more than she used to. Let's just put it that way. Because, I mean, Kevin, where was that we were at where she got scratched just sitting there?
Monroe House, she got scratched.
Yeah, Monroe House. She was just sitting there. And I had actually put myself, what was that box I put myself into they had there at Monroe House? What was it called?
We won't talk about that.
Okay. Well, it was a box with mirrors. Let's just put it that way. And I sat in the middle of it, and nothing ever happened. And then she was just sitting there by her lonesome. And all of a sudden, she got a bee sting, and she had the scratches on her. So, you know, I can't get it to happen to me, but she gets it to happen to her all the time. So I've told on her enough. I apologize to my wife. I love you, hon. I'm in a doghouse, but that's okay. We'll work through it. But now, David, I'm going to bring you in real quick here as far as when you were out there in your experience, did you happen – I mean, do you feel that the entities you were dealing with were energy-based, or do you think they were just like me and you and Kevin and Bill?
All energy-based, that I have to say.
Did you actually feel the energy come off of them, or how? I mean, or was it just how you saw them?
Me, I felt the energy coming off them.
So, is our energy like our aura? Is it like purple and green and blue, red? brown? I mean, is that the energy? Do our energies have color, or is it just like an energy, the same energy?
It depends so far as the colors go. It depends on, you know, how well the condition of the soul, you know, how, you know, how positive they are. If they're negative, they're going to be like the darker type colors. And that's one of the reasons why they call them dark souls. I forgot what I was saying. I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're talking about the aura around the bodies, the different colors of the aura.
It all depends. It all depends on how the soul is. And, you know, but bottom line, yeah, there are all types of different colors and intensity.
And how do you know, like, according to your story, like they said, you came back because you've got a job to finish. How do you know what your job is? How do you know what your responsibility is?
I think my responsibility is to take care of all the problems that I dealt myself when I planned this life. You know, to meet all the goals that I need to do.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you a quick question because we were talking about aura a minute ago. Now, you have a psychic on your team, that's correct?
Right.
Okay, now I know that, Kevin, you've got Denise, she's a medium, but does the psychic, when she's at an investigation with you, does she see orbs, different colors representing the different,
She mainly sees those when, like, she's doing like a person-to-person reading. Something like that, when she has someone sitting in front of her and she's giving them a reading, that's when she normally sees the auras. But if she's doing like a regular walkthrough, I mean, as far as I know, she hasn't mentioned anything about seeing auras. She's basically picked up on feelings, emotions, and sometimes she's able to see the spirits. As far as auras, I think she only sees them when she's like doing a person-to-person reading, personal reading for somebody.
Wow. Let me ask you another question, because a lot of people know who Amy Allen is. She has her own show, and she's a psychic. But when she goes in and she actually sees demons and stuff like that crawling on walls and all that good stuff. But does your psychic see the same thing, or is hers a lot different?
A lot different. A lot different.
Yeah, I don't know if I get into that too much. But I'm going to ask you a question, Kevin, real quick, too, because I know Denise is a medium, I kind of know the answer to the question I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyway before I do that, Bill, can you explain the difference in a medium and a psychic?
I'm not sure if I can, but I'll do the best I can. This is more of a question for her. But in my opinion, from what I've seen, a psychic is able to pick up on like certain things that have happened in the past or something like that right there, like certain maybe tragedies or traumas. Or something that may, like someone may have died of whatever in a certain room. And as a medium, I think that's more of like of a empath where you're only able to pick up on certain emotions or feelings, like maybe depression or anger, or like maybe you may get like a sickness in your stomach of someone who may have had pancreatic cancer or something like that or whatever.
From experience, Kevin, I didn't mean to cut you off, Bill, but I'm trying to get this done before 10:30 here.
You're fine.
Okay, but I know from experience that Denise has, and I hate to talk, well, I don't hate to talk about her, because I love talking about her, but she has evolved with her abilities from when I first met her, she was more of a medium, and I think now she's going towards a medium psychic. But does she pick up on evil, or does she pick up vibes or stuff like that when she goes to an investigation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she sees it all. I mean, she sees good and bad. And, you know, and also, you know, just like myself, you know, I can feel energies. You know, you can, like Bill, I'm sure you've been doing this long enough. You can feel energies out there. Sometimes you can feel if it's not a good energy, you know, at all. You can walk in a home and feel heaviness, you know, and you can tell right there it's not a good place to be. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but yeah, she's evolved a lot and she's great and I love her. And so... Yeah.
These past couple of cases, I picked up on a lot of energy. I was able to pretty much pick up on what I was picking up on, and I was describing to the client. No sooner I said, we had lights flickering both times. And I said, and I was describing something else I picked up on, and I put the tug on the back of my shirt.
Now, David, when you did your experience, did you come back with any abilities at all to be able to pick up on good or bad energies in a person, or better than you were before you had the experience?
I did right after. I did for a couple of years, and then I just didn't use it. It kind of went away. I used to be able to see a person and be able to tell like weird stuff, like when they're gonna die, stuff like that, and it was just too weird for me. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to know again.
So you blocked it out then, right?
Yeah. Eventually, it just kind of went away. I didn't want to use it. I didn't want to know. I don't want to know what's happening. What's going to happen to people? I don't think it's my business. So
you were getting like premonitions?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that was for like a couple years after. That was after I met my wife. That's when that stopped.
Bill, does your psychic, does she keep getting stronger when she's doing on different investigations? I guess what I'm trying to find out here real quick is, I think we all have some type of ability when it comes to psychic ability. We think it's supernatural, but I think it's probably a normal part of our psyche explored it. But does your psychic get stronger? Because I know Denise has gotten stronger
the more
she's used her abilities. Is yours the same way?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Especially when you go into places that's full of activity. Because, I mean, it just heightens it off the chart. And the years, and as many years she's been doing this, the longer she's been doing it, the stronger it's been getting.
I think that's true with everybody, Kevin. Now I know you have you experienced it too. Have you gotten stronger with your feelings towards things?
Yeah, but I mean, I disagree with that statement before because I don't believe everybody has the abilities. I think it's a gift from God, and I think certain people are given abilities, just like there's certain people given abilities to be better athletes than other people. Some people have more book smart, more brains on certain avenues than other people do. I think we're all made a little bit different. I don't think everybody has that ability. I don't think anybody can be taught the ability either. I think it's, you have to have it inside of you already to be able to be taught it.
Bill, you feel the same way?
I don't think everybody's given the gift, but I think some people who do have the gift can be trained on how to control the gift.
There you go.
Now, Bill, I got a question I'm going to have to ask you because one of the things is you're a demonologist and you've answered this question a million times, but the training you went through, can you kind of tell everybody the training you went through to get to where you are as far as a demonologist is concerned?
Excuse me.
I know you hate that question because you get asked it every time you're on the show, but everybody wants to know, man.
Yeah, that's kind of a long-winded answer, but I'm going to try to short it down as much as I can. You have to, like I stated earlier, if you get into the field, learn what the actually paranormal is. Between the human, learn what their characteristics are, learn what the difference is between an intelligent and a residual is. And then instead of just trying to jump into demonology, learn the paranormal first. But for the training of the demonologist, you just got to learn on certain signs, what to look for. Read as much as you can on the topic. Don't just go by someone's word, by what they tell you, because everybody's going to tell you something different. If you really want to learn the demonology, pick up anything based on anything theological that has to do with demons. Talk to other demonologists. Have them talk to you, teach you, show you the right path. Learn what to look for. Learn what the characteristics are. And by all means, never mention a demon's name out loud. Because that gives them power. The only time you want to mention a demon's name is if you're exercising the demon. But basically, talk to Catholics. Catholics are taught in this kind of stuff. I mean, they've been doing it for years. So talk to a Catholic priest, a bishop, or whoever you can. Have them teach you. And that's pretty much all I can say about it, pretty much.
Bill, how long have you, have you ever had to exercise a demon? Have you ever had, how many demons have you come across in your time in the field? I mean, you're pretty busy every weekend, I know.
Like Kevin said, demonic possession is very, very rare. I mean, 9 times out of 10, it's a human spirit or a poltergeist. Possession doesn't happen as much as people want to make it out to be. Nowadays, they watch Ghost Adventures, they think everything's a demon. Just like the whole Ouija board, Zozo, that's not a demon. The whole Zozo demon came about over a Led Zeppelin album. Demons are very rare. Very rare in this world. Yeah, there's demons out there, but the chances of actually encountering a real demonic case is slim to none. I've only came across maybe 2 demonic cases my whole time I've been doing this for almost 13 years.
But Bill, you go out a lot of times. Let me ask, most of the time you go out, is it legitimate people or are people hearing rats in their ceiling and thinking they have a poltergeist?
Most times it's residual. A lot of times it could be debunked by either a loose pipe or high EMF giving off a fear cage that makes them think they got paranormal activity when they don't. But as far as that, I mean, we've had a handful of cases maybe that was to the extreme to where it actually was severe enough to actually maybe do a deliverance. Something like that right there, to where they were being oppressed so bad and with negativity and attachments, and to where they've been messing with stuff they shouldn't have, like Ouija boards or messing with the occult or something like that right there.
So when you say occult, explain occult real quick. I know that everybody has an idea of what a cult is, but kind of explain what that is.
Like witchcraft, trying to cast spells, trying to trying to conjure up things they shouldn't be conjuring up, trying to make packs and stuff like that right there. Black magic,
voodoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a lot of people, because they practice voodoo and stuff like that. Now, this is a question to all three of you. If everybody's got an opinion, go ahead and bring it in here. But and you keep referring to religious aspects, and a lot of people don't believe in religion at this point. And is that an opening? I mean, I kind of, Kevin, you give me your opinion. Bill, you can give me your opinion. Dave, you got an opinion, give me one on it too. Is that an opening for bad things? And if it, how do you guys know that, what you're the process that you're using to do what you're doing is working when you use religion?
Well, I'll give you an example. There was a case in Evansville that we did last year. We hadn't even started the investigation yet. We were still breaking equipment out, and one of my investigators was doing the interview, and she came out there to get me and said, I needed to go talk to this lady. I said, well, I'm kind of busy right now. She goes, no, you really need to go talk to this lady. So I went in there, and I asked her, I said, well, sir, I was told I need to come talk to you. There's something you need to tell me. And she just kind of looked at me. I said, if there's something I need to know, I think now would be the time. So if there's something I need to know, can you let me know? And she said she had been possessed. I said, okay. I said, how long ago was it? And she told me, and I said, well, what do they do to get rid of it? And she said a friend of hers had used black magic to get rid of it. And I said, no. You can't expel evil with evil. And what she was experiencing was called a transient possession. And that's where a demon can come in you and go at its own free will. And I asked her, I said, do you want it gone? She goes, well, I don't believe in God. I said, that's not what I asked you. I said, do you want it gone? And she said, well, I don't believe in God. I said, well, if you truly want it gone, let me know and we can get it out. And she said, all right, so... 6 hours later, it was gone, and I said, well, how do you feel? And she said, I feel a whole lot better. I said, do you believe in God now? And she said, yeah, I believe I do. I said, well, do you want to be baptized? Because that's also a minor rite exorcism in itself, because you're delivering your life over to God, you're getting rid of the sin and all that stuff. So she got baptized, and to this day, she's been doing a whole lot better. She's in church and everything. And she was never a believer in God.
That's great, Bill.
What about you, Kevin? You got anything experience like that you can kind of relate to everybody?
I just kind of caught up in a story there. That was a good story. So it's nice to see people change. I find the people who are closer to God and having God in their heart are in a better place, and they're usually a little bit safer from the darkness. The darkness doesn't like light, so it'll stay away from people who have a lot of God up usually. So I find in the world we're living in right now, there's so many people going away from God and moving away from God. God doesn't exist. And that's why there's a lot more chaos in this world and a lot more evil in this world. And I think we need, you know, when you go to somebody's house to be, Bill, if somebody doesn't believe in God and you can't convert them to believe in God, right, it's really no use in helping them to me, because if you help them and they don't change, that thing's going to come right back at them.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the Bible.
That doorway's going to open right back up, and they're going to come right back. So unless that person is truly willing to make a change.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby Mackey's is a prime example of that. I think they actually did an exorcism on Bobby Mackey's one time, didn't they, Bill?
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah, and every time. And they keep letting people come back in there, and as soon as they come back in, you know, they're using Ouija boards, and, you know, they ask you not to do it, but they still do it. It happens everywhere you go for investigation because the owners leave you alone.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion, I believe as long as they keep allowing teams to come in there, the more it's going to stir it up.
And I think a lot of – because there's a lot of places out here, and Kevin and Bill and Dave, you probably all agree with me on this. There's a lot of places out there that it seems like that the paranormal world has – they're taking places that do have paranormal energy, and they do have paranormal issues with the location. Instead of fixing the problem, they're commercializing it more.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that's really, well, let's just use Ghost Adventure, for example. I mean, my son loves the show and all that good stuff, and they're probably good people, but when they go to a place, the next thing you know, and everybody and their mother is charging to go there. Now, what do you think of that effect would have on the paranormal part of it? Would it make it worse, or what do you think, guys?
I believe it would, because, I mean, a lot of teams go in there, and you know as well as I do, they have to fabricate a lot of it, because they wouldn't have a TV show. So I think they hype it up, and that's what gets all these other teams in there that don't know what they're doing, and it makes it worse for the rest of us who actually know what we're doing.
Yeah, I've never seen so many people be able to collect evidence. I mean, me and Kevin, we've been to a place, didn't collect anything. Matter of fact, we were at the Bridges in Madison County. We were getting so slow on evidence. Kevin was doing a shadow show for us. You remember that, Kevin?
Yeah.
You
got to have fun.
You gotta have fun. But Bill, Kevin, everybody, tell me. I mean, catching the evidence isn't as easy as people make it out to be on TV.
Yeah,
I've been to a lot of places. I've never got anything.
And I think that's the problem with paranormal. Okay, I'll let you talk here right before we go to commercial. But real quick, I think that's the problem with the new people coming to paranormal. They're expecting to go there and find all this evidence. They don't find anything. They get discouraged and they start seeing things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I say, Kevin, before you go to break.
What's that, David?
You were going to say something. I interrupted you before we got to go to break.
We stepped on each other. The evidence is hard to come by for this kind of stuff. That's what kind of adds to the mysteriousness of it, I think.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we're going to go to commercial break real quick, and when we come right back, we'll finish up the show. So we're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Got you there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
As a man, you know what it's like to break your back on a daily basis. Introducing new Bud Silver, the beer for hardworking men. It's just what you need after a day of assembling flat-pack furniture, when instructions are cast aside in favor of intuition. Working with one eye on the job and another on the TV. A day when you're told it looks a bit wonky at least 40 times. Hardworking men want a fuller-tasting, thirst-quenching beer. New Bud Silver. One cold can of You Bet I Earned It.
KFC presents a Halloween tale. It came from the dark. It began like any other evening. They were hungry. Innocently, they went to KFC, where they discovered the new KFC dark meat menu.
Look at all those low prices!
Have you ever seen chicken twice this low?
Yes, dark, delicious pieces of KFC legs and thighs. Flavors like original recipe, extra crispy, and even tender roast. All at low, low prices.
Look at all those pieces!
It's KFC's dark meat menu. Whatever you do, don't eat it alone.
Have you ever needed something late at night or needed the finishing touch on a project due tomorrow? The Walmart in your area is always there for you and open 24/7.
I can't count how many times I've been to Walmart after 11 p.m. Whether it's to get shampoo or just hang out with friends, no matter what, Walmart always has what I need.
The next time you need something quick, you know where to go. Save money, live better, Walmart.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mmm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars?
Hey,
what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Air fresheners create a beautiful atmosphere in your home. But some can be overpowering. Ambipure Purex is different because it's allergen reduced. It's just as scented, but we've taken things out to make it kinder to sensitive skin. So, all you're left with is a collection of delicate air fresheners approved by Allergy UK. Ambipure Purex, a fresh take on fragrancing your home.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&M's.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&M's.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's dark chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes.
M&M's dark chocolate candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, 50 years and the light's still on.
We love it!